Mitch has got Jabroni of the Week in 10 minutes. Do you remember, Mitch, when we called you out for retweeting things during the show? I feel like we've made some progress because you did retweet something during the show today, but it was not totally random. It was topical to what we talked about in regards to Tiger Woods.
Well, two things. Did it on purpose, but I'm also doing it on purpose now just because of you bringing it up. I'm doing it from the same Twitter account.
So was there any intent here where you thought, hey, this is actually somewhat relevant to what was talked about in the show? It'd be perfect.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What's the comment that you use with those sometimes? Get out of town? Is that what you use? Something like that.
Yeah, that's accurate.
I love
the tweet, by the way, is another one of those WTF facts, and it says prescription drugs kill more people each year than heroin and cocaine combined. Tiger Woods, Vicodin, DUI, bad mugshot. It all works in. So I feel like at least we're taking steps in the right direction for Mitch and how much he is paying attention during the show. This tells me that he was not paying attention last segment because that's when it was retweeted, but he was paying attention when we talked about it in the 4 o'clock hour. So at least part of the show, Mitch is paying attention to. That is a good sign. The Game KMAN, if you want to tweet us, or if you want to tweet random useless facts for Mitch Fortner to retweet, you can find him at Mitch the Fort. Usually when Tyler pitches me something from the Big 12 blog or somebody's list, I try to stay away from it as much as I can because it's gotten to the point where in the summer – I feel like sometimes we rely on that too much because there's just not as much going on. And it more or less, I feel like sometimes it can be lazy to just use these lists and blogs and whatever to program the show, more or less. So I went into this with a closed mind, admittedly, when Tyler sent this to me. But I actually came away after I got the explanation of what it was and what they actually listed as the 5 Big 12 games with the highest stakes in 2017. Yeah, no, you may roll your eyes at that that title there. But there was enough there that I think you can make a good K-State point here. And if you are curious what the list is, in reverse order here, number 5, Big 12 games with the highest stakes in 2017, Texas at USC. Number 4, TCU at Oklahoma. Number 3, Oklahoma State at West Virginia. Number 2, Oklahoma at Oklahoma State. Number 1, Oklahoma at Ohio State. You'll notice there was a team that you may be particularly fond of that was not mentioned there in any one of those 5 games. That would be Kansas State, preseason top 25 team. Even the Big 12 blog has said could be a contender for the Big 12 title, yet they're not on this list. Yet Texas is on this list. Yet a non-conference game for Texas is on this list at number 5. And that's where my biggest issue is here. And we'll start there before I get to, I think this does prove a broader point just about K-State and Bill Snyder. But Texas at USC on September 16th, the first line of their explanation for why it's one of the 5 highest stakes games in the league in 2017, it just says this is really just a matter of pride for the Big 12. Does it really matter that much for Texas to go win a game at USC? And even then, I feel like the way they spell it out almost diminishes some of the significance of it right there. They're almost admitting this really is not all that significant except for just some self-esteem, really, for the Big 12 conference. I would not take that to be one of the 5 games with the highest stakes.
Remember when Texas was back, folks, after beating Notre Dame?
Yeah.
Exact same situation, and where did that get the Big 12 or Texas?
Nowhere.
Absolutely nowhere.
It got Charlie Strong fired,
yeah,
is what it got. That's how much Texas beating Notre Dame last year helped. I feel like that is the best argument against that game right there. Texas beat Notre Dame. Everyone thought it was the greatest thing in the world when it happened, and it wound up mattering not at all in the grand scheme of things. So I would certainly, you know, whatever you want to do, K-State, Oklahoma, and Manhattan, K-State and Stillwater against Oklahoma State, one of those 2 games, replace it there. You know, I'm not crazy about TCU at Oklahoma either because I don't think I don't think TCU is going to necessarily be in contention for a Big 12 title. But just omitting K-State from this list in general, when they're pretty clearly a consensus top 25 team, I can't remember a preseason prediction, a poll that I've seen that does not have K-State in the top 25. If you're within sniffing distance then of the top 20, top 15, you're going to be within shouting distance of the conference championship. You're going to play some high-stakes games. And I think even when you have an outlet like the Big 12 blog, this is not just overall ESPN. The Big 12 blog, it used to be 3. Is it just 2 now? Mitch Sherman? I think it is. It's just Mitch Sherman and Jake Trotter. They let Max Olson go in those big cuts. But two guys just dedicated to covering the conference. In particular, Jake Trotter has done it for a while. They know all about K-State and Bill Snyder, and they constantly praise them. They think K-State is going to be a good team this year. But even when you know that Bill Snyder is always going to defy expectations and that he has put together a good team, they still just can't help themselves from leaving K-State off a list like this because there's just not enough sex appeal, for lack of a better term, to K-State. So when you see two glossy names like Texas and USC, even though you know that the substance is there much more with K-State, you get distracted by the bling here of Texas and USC. You know that you should be eating nice, healthy, balanced meal, but you get distracted by the candy bar, the cake that you see there in Texas and USC. And let me tell you, eating that Texas candy bar is not going to get you in shape. It's not going to satisfy you. You'll be hungry an hour later, and you'll feel much worse about yourself for eating it.
Come on. That's dad joke territory a little bit.
That wasn't a joke. That was just a comparison.
But let me give you a game that's more significant than Texas and USC as far as how it impacts the Big 12. K-State and Vanderbilt is more impactful. Let me tell you why. Let me make my case.
Now you're taking this too far.
Wait, listen.
Look, they disrespected K-State. I'm with you on that. Don't take it too far.
Listen.
Don't be bad for the brand here.
Will you let me make my case first? We know that Texas and USC, as far as it pertains to the Big 12, is not a game that impacts the Big 12's chances for the college football playoff. We also know that as far as the national media is concerned, the two candidates from the Big 12 that are in the mix for the college football playoff are Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. And then you start to hear some people saying, well, maybe K-State is some kind of a dark horse contender. Well, if K-State loses to Vanderbilt, there is 0% chance of that happening. If K-State beats Vanderbilt and goes into the Big 12 season undefeated, then there is still that remaining chance that the Big 12 could be three teams deep this year instead of two.
Here's your problem with that argument. Turns into a slippery slope. What happens if Oklahoma loses to Louisiana Monroe? Well, they're out of the college football playoff equation then, and that hurts the Big 12. So really pretty high-stakes game there. I don't know if they're playing Louisiana Monroe, but insert directional school that they're playing at the beginning of the year here. If Oklahoma State loses to Central Michigan, I don't know if they've already done that series. Whatever. Oklahoma State loses to whatever directional school Mike Gundy's rolling out there in September, they're going to be out of the college football playoff conversation. Hurts the Big 12. That, you know, you could just apply that logic to any non-conference game.
At least Vanderbilt's in the SEC.
Well, sure, but they're not a great team. I mean, that's not a very compelling argument to me.
All right.
I think there are much more compelling arguments to make.
I want to ask you guys how much you want to bet if Texas struggles with Maryland out of the gate, who was, I think, like a 500 team last year. If they struggle out of the gate, how big of a game that game is still going to be for Texas for USC? How much it's going to be publicized and how much it's still going to be in our faces come game week?
Not as much.
I can read the headlines right now that if USC beats Texas and Texas is 0-2 or whatever, the headlines are going to be, is Tom Herman the right guy to fix Texas? It's going to happen.
Mitch's Jabroni of the Week is next.